2 is where we're going to be at. Mark chapter 2, had a great lunch, appreciate it, and excellent food, and so praise the Lord for that, and hopefully we'll get something from the Word of God as well, which we should, right? Always can if we want to, so I just need to know my crowd here for a minute. How many of you like Christmas? Okay, good, good. So now, we're a Christmas family. We love Christmas. We do the decorations. We always go out and see the lights. Of course, we have granddaughters now, so it's even much more fun. We do all that kind of We do all the festivities. You know, I can't wait. The radio goes to all the Christmas music. You know, the day after Thanksgiving, you know, you push a button. That's all you get to play, you know, for the next 5-6 weeks and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, the Christmas movies come out. We won't go through the top 10 right now because some of you may not be spiritual enough to know them. And that was a joke. And but one of them that you've probably seen if you've been around for any time, how many have seen It's a Wonderful Life? How many have never seen It's a Wonderful Life? Never. So you got a couple, never seen, not, young people understand, but you've never seen. Okay, I'm going to tell you about it and give the punch. That's what I was going to say. And I'm going to give you the punchline too, and I don't care because it's an old movie. I don't want you coming later and go, I can't believe you told me how it ended. Everyone knows how it ended, okay? You know, but you go back to It's a Wonderful Life, if you remember that. And here we have It's a Wonderful Life. And what's the guy's name? I just forgot his name. Bailey? George Bailey. Yeah, I guess I say George Bailey. How do you forget George Bailey? And so without going, since you know it, that's going to help me. I don't have to give you a lot of detail. But if you remember, he's in this small little town, always wanted to get out, all that kind of fun stuff. But he spent his time helping people. So he had this little, you know, loan place, and he would loan them money and everything and help all the people in town. Well, they didn't have to go through the big bank. You know, that was kind of the theme. And if you remember, some way through there, where things begin to turn, is the big bank guy steals some money from him. And he's getting ready to go in big trouble, go to prison, all that kind of fun stuff. And then he takes off in anger and all that kind of fun stuff and feels like his life's not worth living and he just wants to take his own life. And then he runs into the angel. I always forget the angel's name. What's the angel's name? What's his name? Clarence. So you guys do know. This is good. So Clarence shows up and, you know, you go through. It's an old movie. I can't remember. But I do remember all that shows him what his life would be like if he wasn't alive. That's a cool story and everything. But the neat part is the ending. When he comes back, and now he's excited, you know, his life has meaning and purpose. But he gets home, and all of a sudden, his house is packed. And people are coming from all over and had heard about what happened, that the money was lost. They don't know it was stolen. They just know it was lost or something went wrong. And you remember, they start donating money. You remember that? It was really cool. I mean, all of a sudden, people are, like, breaking out the cans, you know, hidden under the bed and buried in the backyard. They're going to donate all this money. And it was really neat because you think about that and you always wonder maybe if I'm ever in a time of crisis, would I have friends like that, you know? And it's an interesting thought. In other words, would I have enough people to come around that would care enough about me to help out in a time of need? Now, I tell you, the way that happens is a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, even in that story, George Beatty had helped all these people. And because he had a life of giving, when he needed it, it came back to him. Does that make sense? But I have a different twist to that. I'm not so interested in wanting to be George Bailey. If I was in trouble, would everybody help me? My question is, would I be one of the friends? Would you be one of the friends that would step up and help somebody else? That's a bigger question to me. We all want to be the guy, okay, I got a need, come on. But on the flip side, we ought to be people that are helping other people, amen? I mean, that's what it ought to be, especially from a Christian standpoint. We're going to read a story about four unnamed guys. Now, I call them the Fab Four. Okay, yeah. Now, for those of you that are really old, I'm not talking about the Beatles, so let that go. Okay, and then for the newer generation, I'm not talking about the Fantastic Four. Let that go, too. You know, these are four unnamed people that do just an amazing thing. And it's always interesting to me, God chose not to put their names out. You know, you see that throughout Scripture sometimes, like the little maid in the Old Testament. We just know her as a little maid that helps Naaman. No name, but can I tell you, God knew their name, and God knew their name as well. So it's an amazing story. So let's take a look at Mark chapter 2. We'll stand and do our reading, if you don't mind standing out of respect, and especially this afternoon, because I don't want you sleeping. Multiple reasons this afternoon. Mark chapter 2 will be in verse 1, if you found it. The Bible says, and again, so he's been here before. Again, he entered into Capernaum or Capernaum, depending on your background. After some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And that's our Fab Four there. And it says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed therein, wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He's going to reiterate this again. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? You know, at that point, they should have said, bingo. I mean, the question was right. The statement was right. Only God can do that. Right. So guess what? It's God. You know, but they go on. And immediately when Jesus perceived in a spirit that they so reason within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? And again, this is evidence that he's God. So the very question should have woke him up. And if that doesn't wake you up, how about this? Jesus reading your mind. You say, that'd be freaky. Well, let me help you. He can read your mind. You know, so he's already doing that. Then in verse 9, whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, and don't miss this, we never saw it on this fashion. Thank you. May be seated. Can I tell you why you ought to be in the house of God? You never know what you're going to see. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Did you not catch that statement? They showed up that day to hear the preacher, but they had no idea what they're going to see that day. They didn't come expecting to see this sick of the palsy, which would be a man that's paralyzed, and that he's going to be healed that day. No, 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 no. They came to hear Jesus, the Messiah. That's what they came to hear. And they'd had some miracles they heard about. He'd been there that way before, but they'd never seen this before. They'd never seen what took place right here, and they were amazed. And I always think about that, and I always think, listen, you want to be where God is moving. Are you aware of that? And I'm going to help you with this real quick. God died for the church, and God says, guess what? His spirit's going to be in his church. And you know what? You can come week after week, and it just kind of be normal and average. And can I tell you, sometimes that's the way it is, and it's okay. No, no, come on. Let's just be honest. I'm going to help you as a preacher. Not every sermon I preach is a home run. Sometimes I bunt. You say, what are you talking about? These are good sermons. I'm only bringing you my better sermons. If you don't like these, you don't want to ever hear me preach at home. Okay? I go through, no, there's no way. There is no way every one of my sermons are good. I got thousands. No way. There's no way. There's some days I get up and I'm like, man, I can't believe they sat through that. That was horrible. And sometimes I feel like it's a bunt. Oh, it's the word of God. And God's word will never return void. That's the good news. But it's not always like you're going to connect. You got the right illustrations. Everything's good. That's not the way it works. Are you with me? Sometimes you come to church and you've heard that before. If you've been saved long enough, you've heard that before. Isn't that okay? Yeah. No, come on. You stay awake with me. Are you ready? This is okay. Okay? It is. You don't have to tell me every time I walk out. Not everyone at my church, when I walk out, goes, good sermon today, preacher. You say, why? It's not always that great. You know? So, yeah. Now, again, the word of God is. But I'm not offended. I don't get upset. I don't go, I'm going to quit the church. I can't take it anymore. But I also know there's some days they're better than others. Matter of fact, there's some sermons I'll preach, Brother Jeremy. I'm like, that was a good one. And nobody comes to the altar. And I'm like, okay, you guys miss it. That was a good one. I'm telling you right now. Transitions were smooth. Great illustration. I mean, it was really good. And I'm like, seriously? There's other ones I'll preach. I'm like, yeah. Altars are full. I'm like, what is going on? And it makes no sense whatsoever, you know. I mean, it's just the way it is. But here's what I do know. You never know when God's going to show up in a special way. Now, his spirit's always there. And I tell our people, you go to where God's at. Because why? You never know what you're going to get. And those days that it's harder to go, it's probably the day you ought to go. Why? Because Satan probably knows way more than we do. And as God's moving, you could miss some things. At our church, we've had some neat things happen. And I'm amazed sometimes. I always feel for our people. Sometimes they miss it. They miss it. You know, dropping out, maybe away from the Lord, or not where they need to be, that type of thing. And by the time they come back, I mean, oh, where'd you get all these new people? And oh, when did they get saved? When did this happen? Man, God's been doing some great things around here. I mean, I'm sorry you missed it, but you were kind of wayward for a while. And it's like, that can be a bad thing. Why? You miss God moving. I love that phrase. It's that we've never seen it this way before. Well, we've seen people healed, But there was something special about this one. We've heard about things happening. That's why they were there. But there was something special about this one. They said, this is truly amazing. Well, what was it? Well, four guys are there, and they're like, hey, we got a friend. And he's got an ailment. Well, can I help you with this ailment, this paralyzed? We don't know how it happened for sure. Okay, we're not sure. And I'll get into a little more of that here in just a minute. But we know he's been paralyzed. And let's just back up just a little bit. If you're sick, if you have a disease, or you have some pain, aren't you going to the doctor? Is it a stretch to think he's been to the doctor? Aren't you trying every known quack that you can think of? I mean, come on, you're trying all the oils that are out there, and I'm not going to mention any. I'm not against it, I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying? You're trying the oils, you're trying the scent. I mean, you ever get sick and people come up with a long list of stuff? One of the negatives about pastor ever getting sick is all the texts I'm going to get. And I appreciate it, but I could not try everything they're telling me to do. Pastor, take this. Pastor, do this. I'm like, thank you. Stop! You know, there's so many remedies out there, and everybody's got a home remedy and everything like that. Now imagine, this guy's sick of the palsy. They probably exhausted their money going to every doctor they can think of, everything they've heard of. I mean, they've been everywhere you can imagine. This guy is not healed. It's so bad, I mean, he's got to be carried by other people. That's how bad the paralysis has set in, and whatever's happened to him, that's where it's at. But he's got four guys, friends of his. And I don't know who saw the flyer that said, Jesus is here, going to be at such and such a house. But somebody saw it, and they come back and said, hey, I hear Jesus is back in town. He's down at so-and-so's house. How about we take our friend here? And again, a no-name friend. How's that? We got four unnamed people and another unnamed, just known as a paralyzed guy. How's that? And they come in, and I can imagine saying, hey, let's take him. And he gets the friends together, and they say, let's do it. Now imagine, so you don't just carry this guy. You've got to get some contraption to carry him. You ever carry dead weight? Okay, I'm going to help you with this. I have a granddaughter. She's 8 years old. She still wants me to pick her up. We went to a fun park, and my son a couple years ago decided that at that time she's six, and she always wanted to be carried. So you go to one of these fun parks, you're there all day, man, it's grueling on you. And the older you get, it's really grueling. And we're standing in line for 45 minutes. She's like, I mean, right next to me. She always wants Papa. Why? Well, because I'm the best. Everybody knows that. But anyways, so we're there. My son's like, no, we're not going to get a stroller this time. I'm just going to carry her. And I'm like, you're going to carry her? Yeah, so we're in line. And she's like, Papa. Okay. I mean, literally most of the day, I'm like, we're getting a stroller. I love the girl. But I mean, I've carried her and carried her. And I'm going to tell you, it hurt my back. Yeah, I love it. I mean, it started to get painful. And she's a little bitty thing. No, seriously, a little bitty thing. At that point, she may have been 30 pounds, you know, but you carry 30 pounds all day, can I tell you? It's heavy. It's heavy. It took four men to carry this guy. And don't think, well, he's got to be a big boy. He doesn't have to be. But you're carrying him down the street. We don't even know how far they carried him. Stop and think about this. Is it a block, two blocks? Is it 10 blocks? Is it 20 blocks? I don't know. But in other words, stop and think about this. You got to get a cot or some contraption. You got to now carry him all the way down the street. It's heavy, even with four people. I mean, imagine this. And then when you arrive, the Bible says they couldn't get in. Why? Because of the press. Look at verse 4. When they could not come nigh unto the press. In other words, this place is packed. I mean, it's standing room only. It's outside. The windows are open. You're coming down this walkway here. I'd say driveway, but I don't think they drove a lot. And all of a sudden, this entrance is closed. People are outside. I mean, this place is as packed as you could be. And they walk around to the side, it's packed. They walk around the other side, everything's packed. Can I tell you? If they stop and go home, we say this, we'll try it another day. And if they did that, I would not think any less of them. Does that make sense? They don't do that, do they? Somebody says, let's go to the roof. Now, have you ever climbed up on a ladder, down in the roofing, and have to carry any shingles up? Imagine that's a person. Someone's got to carry this boy up. I'm just telling you how this goes. This isn't some, we read these things and go, oh, okay, they got in the roof, they went down. This is work. You got to get ropes to lower this guy down. You got to break open the roof. By the way, I preach a lot, and I'm used to distractions. So if you get up to use the restroom, it's not going to bother me. Oh, it's not. If you fall asleep, not going to bother me. But if someone lowers somebody out through the roof, that's going to bother me. I mean, you got my attention now. I'm going to stop preaching and go, pause right here. That's very interesting. I don't go to concerts and move, but you've seen, you know, where they lift somebody and they take them on the top all the way across, whatever that's called. You know, that's so old. I mean, I'm sure they did it that day with the paralyzed man. How'd they get him up front? Woohoo! All the way up the top. They bring him to the top. They set him down. Jesus talks to him, and right there, Jesus decides to heal him. Now, Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew their heart. He says, thy sins be forgiven. What an amazing thing. What an amazing day. Now, I got to pause right there also for just a second. Here's just a little side note. Jesus says, thy sins be forgiven thee. By the way, everybody needs their sins forgiven. You're aware of that, right? Everybody needs their sins forgiven. Matter of fact, the best thing that happened to you and me is our sins were forgiven through Jesus Christ. We just heard them say, may we never forget what God has done for us. Sometimes we forget stuff, do we not? We forget about how good it is. Hey, you had your sins forgiven. That's an amazing thing. Here the scribes are listening, and in their heart they reason, who can forgive sins but God? Well, God can forgive sins. You know why you have a church and you're telling people about Jesus Christ? Because there's a whole town out here that need their sins forgiven. But there's another element to this I want you to see real quick. This is just kind of this is a free side note, okay? Are you ready? There's an insinuation here that maybe he was paralyzed because of some sin. Have you ever thought of that? I mean, very clearly he says, hey, thy sins be forgiven. Now, we always attribute that to salvation. No debate about that. That has to take place. But the very physical problem that we see was he's paralyzed. Okay? He's paralyzed physically. So he's getting healed physically. But Jesus said, hey, thy sins be forgiven thee. And as you go down just a little bit and you're talking to him, you see this just an insinuation that this may have had. Now, I can't prove that. And so I'm not going to be dogmatic on it. But here's what I know as a preacher. As I thought about that, I thought real quick. And here's the reality. We love the verses that God forgives all sin, and I love those verses, can I tell you right now? I also love the passages that tell me that not all my problems are my sin. Some of my favorite passages, John chapter 9, I love that. You know, why does this guy blind from his birth? Remember what they said? Is it his sin or his parents? And Jesus says, well, neither. Man, don't you love that? Hey, if you don't, I like that. In other words, you know what that reminds me? Some things happen in life because that's life. Some of you have ailments and problems because guess what? Welcome to life. No, it's just life. Kids are born a certain way. No, I'm serious. Things just happen because we live in a wicked world. That's the way it happens. But on the flip side of that, we like to blame everything on that. And can I stop you real quick and tell you? Sometimes we have problems because of our own sins. Let's just be honest. Some of our physical ailments are because of mistakes that we made. I'm going to help you real quick. If you drink most of your life, and you come up with some type of cancer or liver problem, please don't get mad at God because you have a disease. I can't tell you how often I see people Christians getting so mad at God because they smoked most of their life and now they have lung cancer. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but now wait a minute. If you smoke most of your life, you have lung cancer. Here's why you have lung cancer. You smoke most of your life. Pretty deep, huh? You see what I'm saying? In other words, if I'm going to involve myself in some type of activity that's going to harm my body, I have no right to get mad at God because that's the consequences of choices that I make. And we see this all the time, and I see that this is why it's a side note. I see this in Christianity. We get so upset with God because of our health and what's happening. And I can imagine God up there going, well, how might you not do that? And maybe you should exercise a little bit more. A dirty word, I know. It's not my favorite word. But you see what I'm saying? It's like we know some of these things. We don't do it. We get diseases from it. And then we're like, oh, me. No, that's not the way this works. But when I look at this, I'm so glad we have a God who can heal. And even when he made mistakes, possibly, and this paralysis was from something he did, the fact of the matter is God still said, I'm going to heal you. Can I remind you, whether it's your fault or not, let me help you. Your best chance of healing is through Jesus Christ. I'm going to help you as a Baptist. I'm not even Pentecostal. Can you believe that? I've been accused of being called Pentecostal. I get it. I have a lot of energy, so I understand that. But I'm not Pentecostal at all. But here's what I do know. Jesus heals. We have people in our church we prayed for. Jesus heals. Just last week, one of our trustees went in and found out he has melanoma. Went in for the surgery on his nose. They had to cut off a lot of his nose. And they said, we have to take a whole lot of it out, have plastic surgery. Pretty sure everyone's going to notice that. So he's praying. He calls me Wednesday and says, hey, they just came back with the report. Not a problem. They got all of it. They're just going to stitch me up and that's it. We've been praying the whole time for that. We prayed for people with cancer. God's healed them. You say, why? We have an amazing God. I mean, they've literally gone back in, and the doctor's like, the tumor's gone. And they're like, oh, it must have been a mistake the first time. They're looking at multiple x-rays or CT scans. They're like, no, it's been there all this time, but now it's gone. Why? I'm going to tell you why. People prayed. No, you don't understand. God heals even today. Now, I'm not into faith healing. I've always wanted to do it, Jeremy. I'm not going to lie to you. Matter of fact, if one of you is sick, if you don't mind me trying, I would love to. Love to. You say, why? I mean, the ability for me to hit somebody and not get in trouble would be amazing. It's just fun, me. Be healed. Oh, sorry. Here, stand them up. Try it again. Yeah. But that's not how it works, right? Do you think some of those people get healed that way? Well, if they do, I can help you real quick. It's only from God. Because God's trying to do something. But we don't have that power. That's God. So I am a firm believer in healing. I really am. And I want you to understand that. So that's an element I don't want you to miss. But there's another element. The scribes. Do you ever notice in every story about Jesus, there's a scribe, a Pharisee, or a Sadducee involved? They followed him everywhere he went. Can I just help you real quick? Don't be that guy. Oh, we have some ladies here. Don't be that lady. You say, what are you talking about? I mean, here Jesus is. The place is packed. People are in, I don't know where they're at, but they're in there and they're like this. I wonder what he's going to do today. And all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to heal this guy and say, thy sins be forgiven. Because he knows them. And as soon as he says it, like, oh, that doesn't matter. The guy's getting healed. A phenomenal miracle. They said, we've never seen anything like this. No, not them. They're like, oh, blasphemy. Can't believe he's doing this. Why? They were always looking for something. Always looking for something. Folks, you don't understand. The scribes and Pharisees were against Jesus. They couldn't stand him. No matter what he did, they weren't going to believe. And they didn't believe, most of them. You say, why? Because they didn't want to see it. They didn't want to hear it. They wanted to be just negative Nancy. You know, I guess we should use Karen today. That's a new buzzword. But anyways, so negative Karen, how's that? You know, and no, seriously. And I get that there's those people, but hey, don't be that person in the church. That's amazing to me. I'll go to churches and your pastor's told me nothing about you, so don't get nervous. If this hits you, you deserve it. And but there are people in the church, seriously, I go and they're like, they're negative. We had a lady in our church. She was the worst. But she's passed away. I can't say her name because you're probably online and people follow me. But she was the worst. She is literally, we would not. I made our staff try to make sure no visitor ever sat by her. And one day they missed. A guest sat by her. My associate and I went to visit her. And she said, loved a sermon. The church was great, but I'll never be back. Not normally when you visit somebody, they don't tell you that. They just don't come back. So I'm like, oh, man, well, if you don't mind helping us. I'm just curious, could you tell me why? Well, yeah, you have this lady in our church. You have to understand, immediately I knew who it was. I mean, immediately. We had a pretty large church, and I still knew who it was. And then she told me where she was sitting. I go, I knew it. Oh, man, I was so mad. It's very hard to get me mad, but my wife will attest, I was mad. Do preachers get mad? We are human. You can get us mad. And this one, I am fuming. Why? She was such a negative. She literally ran this lady off that we don't know if she's saved or would ever find God because of this negative lady. And I thought about that. And I said, how many people are in the church? And man, I don't like we're getting ready to update and upgrade. I'm sure there'll be somebody. I don't like the color. Well, that's good because we didn't ask you. Well, I don't think I would have done that with the stage. Yeah, that's probably why we didn't ask you that either. And I would have liked these screens or this. Uh-huh, I bet you would have. And again, not your position. So praise Jesus. You know, you see what I'm saying? I mean, but there's always somebody going, I got to complain about it. Do your thing. No, that's not a sign of a Christian. That's a sign of a religious person with a negative spirit that is not from God. And I just want to help you real quick. Don't be that person. There's no bad. You think you're going to get to heaven? Yeah. I oppose everything the pastor tried to do. I did have a lady in our church. Yeah, it's funny. She's like, she came from a Southern Baptist church. She came to our church. She goes, everybody always votes yes here. It's so weird. I'm like, where'd you come from? She told me, she goes, yeah, we'd always have to make sure someone voted no just to keep things balanced. I'm like, that is dumb. There's nothing scriptural about that. That's somebody with a personal problem. Ah, I'm just going to vote no. You know, you don't have to like everything, but can I tell you? Hey, this isn't your church, it's God's. Now, seriously, folks, don't be that person when God, I love our church. I will brag about our church. I love our church. God's doing some amazing things. I just got to be careful, you know, so I don't try to say a lot. But I want to give God the glory for what he's doing and has done. It's amazing. And I'm amazed every year there'll be somebody in the church get bent out of shape, get upset about something. I'm like, seriously? You're going to put all your value or weight in whatever situation is happening right there, whatever argument with somebody or problem, and you're missing everything. What, 80 new members, 100 people getting saved, God doing great things. I mean, you're going to miss that or drop out of church or walk away because this person offended me. And I'm like, stop it. You don't realize what you're missing. God's doing great things. You're sitting right smack in the middle of it. And you got to be reminded of it over and over because you can't see it. But let me tell you, that's a spiritual problem. So I'm going to help you real quick. Don't be the scribe. What we need to be is the Fab Four. Now, there's something amazing about this Fab Four I want to tell you. They pick this guy up and they take him. And there's two things I want to show you about them. That was all just introduction to get you ready. Are you ready? There's two things I want to show you about this Fab Four that impressed me. Number one, their perseverance. Can I be honest? Are you kidding me? I mean, you take him all the way there. Again, if they say, oh, we'll try again, maybe he's going to be somewhere else. I'm like, I got you, man. I got you, man. But they're like, no, you're our friend. We want you healed. He's a healer. This is your best shot. We got to get you in there. They're so determined and they won't quit. Are you ready? They won't quit that they break the ceiling open and lower him with ropes down to where he gets up to the front and Jesus heals him. Mind-blowing to me. I mean, the fact that they would not quit for this guy, that's amazing. I'm immediately reminded of Galatians 6:9. And you go back to Galatians 6, we'll turn there real quick. And talks about not being weary in well-doing. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing. Because it says, for in due season we shall reap. But look at this, if we faint not. Is that not amazing? No. Believers above everyone else, can I tell you? We can't give up. God needs us to have faith and perseverance. I'm going to tell you something right now. You are a lighthouse in this area. One of the things, I've been there long enough to be able to see this and to see the cycle. After 38 years, you see a lot. And we have young people get saved, leave, and then come back. And maybe they go to the city or another state and come home one day. And just a couple years ago, we had one come back. And probably the greatest compliment we got was this. It says, you know, I came back to Central Baptist. And this young person's been gone. Seriously, when I say 20, 30 years, no exaggeration. Probably 30 years. He was in my youth department. So that was a long time ago. He comes back, he goes, you know what I knew? I knew Central Baptist Church would be the same. Now, folks, that's huge. You're talking 3 decades. He comes back, we're preaching the same doctrine, same spirit, same people doing the same thing after 30 years. And he needed that consistency. And he needed that, are you ready? Perseverance. We've got a world and a Christianity going wacko out there. They're changing by every fad. Folks, we don't have time for that. We need churches that will preach the word of God and people that will just serve Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Are they faithful over and over and over and over? Knowing this, are you ready? You're going to reap if you faint not. You say, what are we going to do? How do we reach everybody? I'm going to tell you something. You just keep doing it. A couple years ago, I was telling your pastor, we probably had, it may have been our best year. I put it in the top 10, probably top 3, but honestly, it may have been one of our best years. We've been in existence 91 years. 91 years. So to go back to year 89 and have one of our best growths of salvations and church members, not going to lie to you, it's unheard of. Okay? Churches plateau, you decline. It's just unheard of. Okay? You don't see that a lot. In other words, a lot of times early on in ministries, you'll see the growth. And it's not that you stop growing, but you see the initial growth. And then there is a plateauing and you lose. Like for us, we have to gain 30 people a year to stay even. We lose 30 people a year, hands down. Sometimes more, I don't think ever less, but seriously, some years we have to gain by 50 new people just to have the same exact average. It's just the way our town is. People went out of Ponca City, they want to go to big cities. You know what it is. So they move, get transferred, and you may face the same thing here, but it's just a transitional area. You know, so for us, success for us is that we're just seeing people saved and baptized. And if we have the same average, means we reached 30 new people that year, or 50. So we have a year, and I'm looking at this and how God just like exploded. And people are like, what did you do? Are you ready? Here's the secret. Nothing. No. What was the magic sauce? I sure wish I knew, because I could write a book then. We just did the same thing we always do. Now, we had a revival that year and a special conference that we'd had before with the same guy we had before. But that year, things blew up. Things blew up. We had almost 2,000 guests in 2 days. We had 80 people fill out a card and said, we would like more information about the church. We've never had that in the existence of our church doing the exact same thing. You say, what did you do? Oh, nothing. We were just faithful. And after 89 years, God says, now's the time. I'm serious. Now's the time. You just do what God, no. You do what God's called you to do. God brings in the increase. God does the work. But he's not going to do that if we quit. You know, and there's a lot of people out there. Are you ready? I think we've quit on too much. Now, don't get me wrong. In my flesh, I quit on a lot of people. I'm going to confess. Oh, yeah, I do. I'm not going to lie to you. Well, you're a preacher. You can't do that. Too late. Already did it. No, there's some people from a human standpoint, I'm like, nah, no way. No way. But we still keep preaching. We still keep loving. We keep trying to still try to reach people. But I tell you, there's an element that we've lost. Remember the day when grandmothers would pray all the time? And grandkids would say, well, I was out of church for like 15 years, but my grandma wouldn't stop praying for me. Can I tell you? We need some grandmas back. And you may not be a grandma, but we need some spiritual grandmas back. Some of you have kids that are out. You have family that are out. You have friends that aren't serving the Lord. And you're like, what are we going to do? I'm going to tell you something. You need to persevere and not give up on them. No, don't give up on them. You say, when do you know to give up, preacher? I don't know. My wife asks me that sometimes. I got long prayer lists. And I'm like, I don't know. There are some people I take off my list. I'm not going to lie to you. God just kind of puts in my spirit. And there's others that are on there. We're like, well, I hope one day. Hope one day. We had a guy in our church. He was Joe Van Dyke. And every revival preacher that came, we took to see Joe Van Dyke. One of the nicest guys you ever meet. He was a janitor at a Southern Baptist church in town. And I finally asked him one day, well, why won't you accept Jesus Christ? He said, well, he goes, preacher, I was a janitor, retired from First Baptist Church in town. He says, the only person who ever told me about Jesus was a guy from your church. He was doing AC work. And I was there with him, letting him in, standing by him. And he asked me about my salvation. I worked in a church, Baptist church, for 30 years, and no one ever talked to me about Jesus. So if God and Jesus are so important, why did nobody ever tell me? Well, those were his words. So I mean, for like 30 years, and we're sending preachers. I mean, best preachers to me in America. Guys like Sam Davis and Dave Hardy. I mean, we're taking them to talk to this guy. These guys are good. If anybody can visit them, they can. And he'd listen, go through the whole plan of salvation. You can be there an hour and a half. Listen intently. At the end, he'd go, just not ready. Just not ready. I remember he had a heart attack, massive, like 5 bypasses. I'm in there praying for him like Brother Mr. Joe, because he's my brother. I go, Mr. Joe, listen, you ready to accept Jesus? Words of his mouth, not yet. I'm like, you do know you may not come out of this because you're age. He goes, but I'm just not ready. He has another heart attack a few years later. Exact same. He refused to accept Jesus Christ. 30 years, his wife, every Wednesday night, pray for Joe, pray for Joe, pray for, and I know people got irritated. Oh, pray for Joe, pray for Joe. I mean, seriously, you're just like, here we go. You know, even as a pastor, I'm like, you don't have to say it. Pray for Joe, gotcha. You know, and then one day I'm sitting in my office and Miss Van Dyke calls me and says, preacher, Joe would like to talk to you. I dropped everything I was doing, ran over to his house with my Bible, didn't need it, walked in. Joe Van Dyke says, I'm ready, preacher. I'm like, we've talked to you a ton of times. You know what to do? He goes, yes, sir. Bowed and accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. He died 2 to 3 months later. During that time, he started listening to preaching, scriptural music, total change of the man, total change of the man. And his wife refused to give up on him for 30 years. I've heard story after story of that. Cynthia Blevins, lady in our church, her dad just got saved at 90 or 92. 92 years old, just accepted Jesus Christ. 92. Her son went to Heartland Baptist Bible College. Her daughter, Chris, went there as well. They've all witnessed to him, nothing. And finally, a few years ago, he decides to get saved. Why? We have a good God. But here's the neat thing. Are you ready? And I want you to look at verse 5. The second thing I wanted you to see was this. Besides our perseverance, in verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick, now, I love this part. Are you ready? Their faith. Whose faith? Not the guy sick of the palsy. Don't miss this. God honors faith. No, but normally here's what you see it. I have enough faith to believe, and God says, okay, I honor that. Now, do not take this farther than needs. No, wait a minute. Don't take this too far. You can't get saved for anybody else. Do not make that connection. That's a false connection. I'm not saying that anywhere close. Well, if I believe, God will save my children because that's not what it's saying. Are you ready? Here's what he's saying. God honored the faith of the four when the one didn't have enough faith. In other words, God says, I'm going to heal him because of their faith. Didn't mean he didn't have any faith, but they had way more faith. And because of their faith and their perseverance of never giving up, God honored that. And I thought about that and said, wait, the power of faith. We can be faith for other people until they get their own faith. When they won't pray, we can pray for them. When they don't believe, we can believe for them until they finally do. Now, don't get me wrong. They will have to one day. They won't go to heaven until they bow and they accept. That's the way it works, very clear spiritually. But you have sons and daughters. You have friends that are wayward, and they're not coming to church, and they won't come to revival, and they won't listen online. And you're like, what do I do? You become faith for them. God just might honor you, and God may just continue to work in their life and give them more time and even more time to finally repent and come. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here's what I know. God honors all faith in different ways. When I saw this, four guys, I thought, wow, you mean so I can pray for someone who's lost or someone who's wayward, and God will continue to reach out into their heart and work on them because of my prayer? Yes. And he'll work on them until they come around or they go home. You say, why? Because God honors faith. God loves faith. Matter of fact, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And I remember the first time I saw this, I was like, never seen that. What do you mean? Oh, I get it. If I have faith, God's going to bless. But you realize that I can be faith for my boys. Again, I can't get saved for them. But I can believe when they don't believe, and that God would honor that and work on their heart to bring them back. Wait a minute. That changes everything. This is why we have perseverance. This is why we don't give up. Why? Because God will honor your faith for your family. And you can have stories like that. Now, does that mean everybody gets saved? No. No, it doesn't. But it's their best chance. My grandmother, 92, 94, never accepted Jesus Christ. We prayed for her, witnessed to her all the time. She never got saved. To my knowledge, when she died, she was not a believer, which, as you know, isn't good. But we never gave up. We kept going. And I believe with everything inside of me that God gave her opportunity after opportunity to keep working on her. Why? Because of our faith. Because of our faith. But then time just finally ran out. Time finally ran out. Folks, listen. Your faith is worth it. Who knows what God can do? If you stay faithful and you persevere and you keep going on, because I know this, God loves people. And I don't know what God can do here, but I know this. God could do amazing things to even the group of people here on a Sunday afternoon. With this group of people right here, God could change this town, change this church. You say, when? Well, that's up to him. What you got to do is have faith that he can do it. And you got to keep persevering and let him work. And then all of a sudden one day you may be saying, we've never seen it like this before. Man, I'll tell you how that happens. You keep a strong faith, and you don't quit. And you don't quit. Because we're not trusting in the pastor. We're not trusting each other. We're trusting in him. This is his church. And with his power, all things are possible. I believe. So I'm going to tell you something. Today, my challenge is simple. Folks, we got to keep going on and not faint. We got to have some perseverance. And we got to grow in our faith. There's a lot of people out there that don't have faith. And they need us to stay faithful until they can get their own faith. That's what we need. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for the day. And Lord, we thank you for the people coming back this afternoon and for the opportunity to get in your word. And Lord, I pray now that you would be at this fine congregation, Lord. And Lord, that you'd help their faith to be strong. Lord, we see the faith of the four. You honored that faith. You showed us a very important principle. And that principle is throughout Scripture. I think of the centurion, Lord, and the servant. And you healed the servant, not because of the servant's faith, but because the centurion asked. That doesn't mean that servant was saved. It just meant that servant was healed physically because of the faith of somebody else. Lord, I firmly believe we can pray for people's healing and pray for so many things that you'll honor and you'll bless. You'll open up doors because of our faith. We need to be people of faith. Lord, maybe someone needs to come today and say, Lord, strengthen my faith. Grow my faith, Lord. Maybe their faith is becoming weak, Lord. But Lord, I pray that you'd help them be faithful and faint not. And Lord, We need to pray for perseverance today. Lord, we need to be strong in your word, strong in the truth. And Lord, the world is watching us. Our families are watching us. Lord, we don't have time to quit and give up and throw in the towel, Lord, no matter how bad it gets. Because, Lord, you bless perseverance. So, Lord, help this church to be a church of faith that perseveres until you return, I pray in Jesus' name.